You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The clock is running out on lame duck. The Republican-controlled legislature keeps pumping out bills. And Detroit News business columnist Daniel House has a question, and I quote him, "What is it with these people?" Daniel, we've been talking each week for years. I think this is the angriest column I've seen you turn out. You aim that question at the one still controlling Lansing until January 1st. So what is it with these people? What's your answer?
I don't know. I think we see a lot of petty politicking, but more importantly, I think we see politics practiced today as the exercise of naked, raw power. And, you know, they do things because they can. This Republican legislature and previous Republican legislatures have used lame duck to push through legislation that metaphorically enables them to stand their boot on the neck of labor in this state. And I think it's done nothing but radicalize the other side. And when they are back in power under a new governor, and essentially labor will be and will have a seat at the table in the governor's office again, I think things are going to be a little bit different. You know, the other thing that strikes me about this is that this is more about imposition. It's not about persuasion. Mm. And when you can't persuade people that you're making why your argument is a good one, why your policies would be more beneficial to the state, but you have the power to impose it, I'm reminded of a phrase when I was writing that column. I didn't use it, but my father used to say, "A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still." And I think that really applies here. That there are policies that get pushed through at the end of the session that are potentially deleterious and certainly adversarial, because if they weren't adversarial, they wouldn't have saved them till lame duck.
Well, for example, I want to tick a few boxes here to get your thoughts. The bills weakening the power of the next governor, next secretary of state, and next attorney general, all Democrats. Go.
Well, I think it speaks for itself, doesn't it? It basically says we're going to change the rules because we don't trust them to do what they need to do. Look, both sides can look at the voters and say, and come up with all sorts of examples of why this whole notion of, well, the voters have spoken, therefore the voters are right, is wrong in their opinion. You can have Republicans can do that. You can have Democrats can do that. But the fact of the matter is if you live and die by the vote, and if you are in this political machine, that's kind of the last word. And, you know, we have to kind of recognize that. And, you know, it's a bit of a hackneyed phrase, but it's true. Elections have consequences. So not only do you have to persuade, isn't it more important to persuade? I think it's also important to run better candidates. And I don't think there's any question that the Republican nominee for this governor's race was a weak candidate.
New civil service job for the state's chief medical executive, Dr. Eden Wells. Go.
Oh, just. I saw that in our newsroom, and I sent a note to a couple of my colleagues, and I said, this is absurd. I mean, you have somebody who is an appointee who clearly has been bound over for trial, as I understand it, but who clearly would be in the frame with a new governor and could easily be fired. And here in the waning days of the year, they convert her job, give her another job in the civil service, which essentially gives her civil service protections. Doesn't make it impossible for the next governor to dismiss her, but certainly makes it more complicated and probably a little more protracted. I just think it slaps the people of Flint in the face. It says that the whole notion of accountability is cooked and, you know, we're going to defy it. And I think it speaks for itself.
Daniel, what are your sources in the business community? What are you hearing about what they feel about what's playing out now during lame duck?
You know, I don't know to what extent they really pay that close of attention, to be honest with you. If they're not tax bills, if they're not things that are directly impinging on or influencing the business environment in Michigan, I suspect that it's less important to them. One of the things I think is pretty clear by this election is that they were already looking past the election. I think there was an assumption that was baked in that Gretchen Whitmer was going to be the next governor, that we were headed for a divided government. And you could make the argument that divided government could be in some ways better. I think one of the things we've seen is as Republicans have been in control, and this happens any time a party is in control for as long a period as 8 years, they start to get sloppy. And as a result, things start to lose their momentum.
And final few seconds, how do you think the relentless positive action governor will deal with this blizzard of bills he has to go through?
Well, I would think he would. He certainly has the veto pen to be able to say, I'm not going to be a party to this. Now, this is a guy who says, look, civility is important. I mean, when you talk to him about his legacy, he'll talk about the legacy of civility, a legacy of relentless positive action, of not demonizing your enemies. Well, some of these bills that are going to land on his desk potentially could be, demonizing the adversaries. And I think we're going to get a chance to see kind of what Rick Snyder is made of finally, as these are his final moves, and these issues are not going to come before him, at least, ever again.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.